Hello, welcome to the Higher Education Researcher. This is a podcast by the Center for Higher Education Research and Evaluation at Lancaster University. My name is Olga Rotar, and my guest today is Professor Wilma Kuhn. Wilma is a personal chair of university education and the deputy director of the Institute for Academic Development at the University of Edinburgh. Welcome, and thank you very much for coming, Wilma.
That's okay, Olga. It's great to talk with you.
In today's episode, we will discuss a Wicked Problems project led by Well and her colleagues. This project focuses on how educators in universities prepare students to deal with wicked problems in their future lives. So, Well, let us start with a discussion. What is a wicked problem?
Okay, so a wicked problem, it comes originally from the work of Ruttel and Weber, but the idea has been used quite widely now in higher education and elsewhere. And basically what a wicked problem involves is those kind of messy, complex, unpredictable problems that often occur in the world. So things like the climate emergency or pandemics or conflict, those kinds of things. And some of the characteristics of wicked problems are that the outcomes to any attempt to solve them tend to be unpredictable. So you try to do something, for example, to solve the climate emergency, but maybe you accidentally make it worse. And the other thing is they tend to bring together stakeholders with contradictory viewpoints. So maybe some people with a scientific viewpoint and some people with an unscientific viewpoint, or people who disagree very profoundly about the solutions. So they're some of the most tricky, troublesome global challenges, I guess, would be a good way to define them.
Thank you very much, Well, for introducing the concept. Why it is relevant that students learn about wicked problems?
So I think increasingly in higher education, we think about things like graduate attributes. We want to see how we hope our graduates will be prepared for the whole of their future lives. So employment, certainly, but also challenges in their personal lives, in their communities, in their political commitment. So I think it's really important that all of our graduates, whatever they plan to do in the future, spend some time thinking about global challenges and how they can contribute in their lives to meeting, living with, dealing with those challenges, because everybody's going to face them. So to my mind, it's a really important part of higher education.
Thank you, Will. I had the chance to browse on your project website, and I can see that you've done much research on teaching about wicked problems. Could you please share with our audience your research findings?
So we talked to a wide range of academics teaching about wicked problems across all sorts of different subject areas. And I think one of the first findings and something that was very heartening to me was how many academics all across the university were thinking about wicked problems and how to teach them well, and were really committed to that. The sorts of things they do, it's very common for them to get them to do students to do interdisciplinary group work on maybe a part of a wicked problem, a manageable part. So they might, for example, say to the students, work in groups and write a policy briefing about a conflict in a particular country as if you were giving it to ministers. So they're engaging the students with a wicked problem, but they're not saying solve the whole wicked problem. They're saying come up with something that might help. And they're giving what I would call an authentic task to the students to do. So they're not saying write a very abstract essay. They're saying write a policy brief, create a video, create an action plan. So they're getting students to think about ways of acting that they might actually use in the future. Some of the other things the teachers did was to help students work with the challenging emotions that might come up when you're learning about wicked problems, because they can be quite upsetting. So they talked about making time for reflection and for students to talk about their feelings, and also giving students structures to help them make the wicked problems feel more manageable. So they might talk about things like spheres of influence or ladders of participation, ways of getting students to think about, I might not be able to solve this whole problem myself, but here's something meaningful I can do to contribute, and something that might make it seem that many people working together eventually could, if not solve this wicked problem, at least make things better. So I think that was part of it. There was also quite a lot about helping students to work on talking with people from different disciplines and different backgrounds, because if you're used to, say, for example, studying psychology, psychology has a particular language, particular kinds of evidence that are valued, particular ways of looking at the world. Now, then if you get put in a group with a social anthropologist and an engineer to talk about solutions to the climate emergency, you need to learn to appreciate their disciplinary perspectives, understand they might use language in a different way. And that's even more so once you start to talk to people outside the university. So they did quite a lot about helping students to practice those ways of talking and to understand that mutual understanding isn't a straightforward thing, that you probably have to negotiate and talk back and forward quite a lot to really help students to understand. So I think those were some of the important things that the teachers were doing to help students think about wicked problems.
Thank you, Val. Do you say that educators that you interviewed already knew how to prepare students for dealing with wicked problems?
The teachers that we spoke to were already doing this and often doing it in highly successful ways and getting really positive feedback from their students. So I was really delighted how many people are already doing this. But one of the things we're trying to do from the Wicked Problems Project is to help more teachers do this. So we've been doing workshops and presentations and videos to try and draw more people into this kind of teaching, because it can be quite unfamiliar. You know, if you're used to teaching a particular section of your particular discipline, maybe in quite an abstract or theoretical way, it's quite a big leap then to teach in interdisciplinary ways about messy problems. But if we think it's important, we have to support our teachers to be able to do this.
I agree that teaching about wicked problems is not an easy task, because teachers need to work often in chaotic and risky space. In your opinion, what kinds of curricula are good for learning about wicked problems?
So I think certainly in my university, there are a number of curricula within specific courses and programmes that already do this and actually do it very well. And I know this is also true in many other universities. You only need to look around their websites a bit or go to a few conferences to find the interesting interdisciplinary courses about global challenges. So I think this is something that's happening across universities, and I think it's also becoming increasingly important across the sector. So there's been a lot of discussion, for example, at a conference I was at recently about how to embed the sustainable development goals in curricula. And of course, the sustainable development goals are very much wicked problems. So in that sense, I do think it's happening. To my mind, a good curricula for wicked problems are interdisciplinary, as I've said. They engage students on working on the messy problems in authentic ways. They involve lots of dialogue. They involve reflection. They're also research-informed curricula, so students need to have a good deep grounding in research in one discipline in order to have meaningful interdisciplinary conversations. And I think they're also curricula that are boundary crossing. So rather than being tightly constrained within one corner of one subject area, you're talking to policy members, members of the public, people from charitable organisations, people from other academic areas. So I like these when these curricula are quite permeable and they bring other people in, which we saw quite a few examples of in our study. People would invite the policymakers or the NGOs to come and hear the students' presentations, for example. So I think those are some of the things that make for strong curricula for wicked problems.
Thank you very much, Will. You mentioned a workshop that you designed as a part of your project. Could you please tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, so when we've done workshops about this, what we tend to do is we invite along some teachers who are already talking about wicked problems and maybe some other key stakeholders who you wouldn't so often think about. So we might invite colleagues from the university chaplaincy who are good at working with reflective practices and mindfulness and things that will help students face wicked problems. We might bring colleagues from our sustainability and social responsibility section. So we try and do the kind of interdisciplinary group crossing things that we're asking the educators to do. And then we usually run the workshop in different sections. So we might, for example, start off by hearing about the wicked problems that participants teach about or would like to teach about. And then maybe myself or one of the colleagues on the project, we might do maybe a short presentation saying this is what a wicked problem is, here are some of our research findings. Then we might do some group activities saying, right, working groups, we've offered you some research findings, could you use these in your teaching? Would they work? Wouldn't they work? We might also get participants to practice some of the reflective exercises. So we might get them to do a little bit of mindfulness, or we might get them to have a talking stick, take turns to speak about how they feel about the wicked problem, or we might ask them to do some reflective writing. So we try and model the kind of teaching that we hope people will engage in as well. And we tend to find that probably up to about a half day workshop works quite well for this, because they're quite deep topics. You need time to engage with them, but we also need to be mindful that our academic colleagues, even before the current pandemic, were quite pressured and busy in their lives. So we have to be a bit realistic about how much of their time that we ask.
Thank you, Will. And how teachers can register for your workshop?
So the workshops we've done so far have been for colleagues within the University of Edinburgh, but I'm planning to do something at the University of Edinburgh's Learning and Teaching Conference, which is going to be open to the wider world. So if we get a workshop accepted for there, then that would be something that colleagues can come along to. Mm-hmm. We also have a website for the project, which you could possibly put up with this podcast. And on the website, you'll find videos and resources and a mailing list. So if, for example, we were getting colleagues from other universities getting in touch with us to say that they were interested in this area, then that would give us a good reason to run a more open workshop for a wider range of participants. I think that would be a really interesting thing to do.
Great. Thank you very much for sharing your opinion, Will. And once again, thank you very much for agreeing to be a podcast guest. I wish you all the best in your future work and hoping to hear about your project more either here or somewhere else.
Thank you very much, Olga. It's been good to talk with you.
It was Professor Will McKern talking about Wicked Problems Project and the Higher Education Researcher. Have a good day.